At the house, I pulled around back to where the pallets were stacked up.
"Think it's gonna rain all day?"
Thad asked, as he got out of the truck.
"I hope not. We were supposed to get some stuff airlifted in today. Sarge said they won't fly in this kind of weather."
I opened the back of the Suburban, and Thad tossed in one of the pallets. As I turned to walk to the stack, I thought I saw something. Actually, I was certain I saw a person over the burned-out remains of Don's old place. Thad was bent over grabbing another pallet, and I moved up beside him. I just saw someone at the place next door. Thad didn't react. He hefted a pallet and started to move towards the truck.
"Where at?"
he asked in a quiet voice. "To the left of that big down tree, the one he was cutting when the chainsaw got him." Thad nodded and tossed the pallet into the truck. I was behind him with another and threw it in as well. As he passed me, heading back to the stack, he said,
"I don't see anything."
Picking up another pallet, I said, "I'm certain I did."
"I believe you. You need to call Sarge on the way back and let him know,"
Thad said as he grabbed the last pallet. Once the last one was in the truck, we got back in and headed out the way we had come in, which took us a little closer to the spot we were talking about. As we passed by, I casually looked at the tree but didn't see anything, and told Thad. He told me to call the old man as soon as we got to the road. As I pulled out onto the paved road, I did just that. Sarge responded quickly to the radio call, and I informed him of the situation.
"You sure?"
"Positive."
Before he replied, Ted's voice came over the radio in a hard whisper.
"We'll move that way and take a look."
"Morgan, let the folks at the bunker know and tell them to keep a sharp eye out. Ted, you check in every 10 minutes and watch your ass."
We both replied in the affirmative. At the bunker, I helped Thad and Danny get the pallets in place. They made a huge difference keeping everyone out of the water.
"This is real nice, a lot better," Leanne said.
"Yeah, it's not so bad now," Taylor added.
Thad and I told them about the person we had seen, and that the guys were moving in to take a look. I stressed that they needed to keep a sharp eye out, and that meant behind them, too. Thad and Danny said they'd be extra cautious and for me to go get some rest and dry off. I was tired and wet and didn't argue. Besides, I had the radio and would know if anything happened. I told Danny I'd leave the truck, though, just in case they needed it. And I walked home. Slogging through the mud on the way home, Dalton came out of the trees on the side of the road. I was surprised to see him because I never knew where the guy was.
"What the hell are you doing out here in the rain?" I asked.
"Just out poking around. It's the perfect day for someone to start some shit, so I'm just wandering around, kind of keeping an eye out."
"I appreciate it. You really stepped up the other day at the barricade. Having someone else around to help with security is a big plus. Any concerns I had about this vanished at the barricade. He was all in when the chips were down. Everyone here now knew where he stood with us."
"Thanks. It's nice to be someplace I can close my eyes and actually sleep. I don't mind pitching in."
I looked around.
"Well, be careful. Some of the guys are out on patrols. I hate to see a friendly fire incident."
"Murphy's Law, friendly fire isn't," Dalton replied with a grunt.
"I'm headed home. Need some sleep."
Dalton wiped some rain from the brim of his boonie hat.
"I'll be around."
"For how long?" I asked.
He cocked his head to the side and looked at me.
"You know, how long are you going to hang around? As you've seen, everyone here pitches in, and you kind of fell right into it, as it seems. I'd like to think you're now part of our team and that you're going to be around."
Dalton sniffed and looked out into the woods. After a short pause, he said, "I've never been much of one for the whole group dynamic."
There's always some asshole that wants to be King Turd on Shit Island. He looked me directly in the eye. But it does seem a little different here. Hell, I can't tell who the chief of this band of Indians is, and I like that. There's obvious order, and like you said, everyone pitches in without being told what to do. If you'll have me, I'd be happy to stay on. I offered my hand. Dalton surprised me by grabbing my forearm in the manner of the Romans. I gripped his as well. "We'd be honored to have you," I said. Dalton gave my arm a firm shake. "I'd be honored to be a part. I'm going to get some sleep. You need to start coming around for meals, too. We eat together, I think you know when," I said. Dalton nodded. "I'll be around." He turned and walked back into the trees on the side of the road. He was certainly a man of few words. I stopped on the porch to take off the coat and my boots. Hanging the coat on a nail, I sat down and pulled my boots off. I was soaked from the waist down and didn't want to go in the house sloshing water all over. The dogs were all on the porch and, in their usual manner, paid no attention to me. I reached down and rubbed Meathead's ears. He lifted his eyes and thumped the floor with his tail a couple of times, but made no other effort. "You are positively worthless," I said with a smile. Hearing me speak, Drake lifted his head and looked at me. Not finding whatever it was he was expecting, he laid his head back down. Again, I smiled. Maybe they weren't worthless. They did bring a smile to my face. Opening the door, I was met with a wave of warmth. While the temps outside weren't cold by any stretch, the rain had cooled things off noticeably. Looking across the living room, I saw a small fire burning in the fireplace. Mel and Little Bit were all piled on the couch. They pulled the coffee table up and had their legs sprawled out on it. Little Bit looked up. "Hi, Daddy. I made a fire." She pointed at the fireplace and beamed with pride. I smiled and stepped in. "You did a good job, too." Mel, who had been dozing, looked up. "Hey, babe. It was chilly in here, kind of clammy feeling, so we made a fire." "Good idea. It will keep the house dried out. I'm soaked, so I'm going to change and join you guys. Looks pretty comfy." I went in the bedroom and stripped out of the wet clothes, tossing them into the bathtub. After changing into dry clothes, I went back out to the kitchen. I wanted a glass of tea. The box of tea was sitting on the counter. I smiled and ran my hand across it as I passed. We separated a lot of it out, with most of it at Danny's. Since everyone was eating meals at his place, it only made sense. But I made sure to have plenty here. With a glass in hand, I headed for the living room. Stopping by the fireplace, I prodded the fire with the iron and added a small log to it. I fell into my recliner and rocked back. We spent the afternoon like that. No talking, just relaxing to the sound of the rain on the roof and the crackling of the fire. It was so nice. Our relaxation was interrupted by the dogs barking. I got up and looked out the window to see Sarge coming down the drive in the Hummer. Mel sat up and looked over, asking, "What's going on?" "Sarge is here. Let me go see what's up." I slipped on a pair of Crocs and went out on the porch. Sarge pulled up and shut the wagon down. "Come on, we're going to town." I looked up into the drizzle. "Why?" "We're going in to talk to Sheffield and get things ready for tomorrow. Fawcett said the weather will be cleared up this evening, and they'll be able to get in." I stretched. "All right, give me a minute." Going inside, everyone was up now. The fire in the fireplace was just a smoking pile of ash. "I've got to go into town." Little Bit jumped up.
"Can I go?"
she shouted. I looked at Mel, but this time she didn't object. Smiling at Little Bit, I replied,
"Sure, get dressed."
She jumped up and ran off to her room. Mel waited till she was out of sight, to tell me to be careful. I smiled and told her I would. We shouldn't be too long. Just going in to set up for the delivery tomorrow. Okay, I'll be next door when you get back. Little Bit came out of her room, dressed and ready to go. She had the small pack she carried everywhere with her. It was her kit, as she called it, and it was actually a pretty good one. I'd put it together for her a couple of years ago, when she started to get interested in what I was doing. She carried it every time we went into the field on hikes or kayaking. Now, though, she got to use it for real, not just sit in the living room floor and play with it. I'm ready, she announced. Come on, then, let's go. She ran over to Mel and gave her a hug. See you later, Mom. I gave Mel a kiss. Love you. See you later. We went out and saw Doc sitting in the turret. I waved at him. Didn't see you up there earlier. I just got here, coming along to figure out where to set up the clinic. Little Bit waved at him. Hi, Mr. Doc. Doc smiled, his teeth shining through his beard. Hey, Princess, you coming too? She patted her pack. Yep, I've got my pack. Doc gave her the thumbs up. Good, we're prepared then. We hopped in, and Little Bit shared my seat. Sarge patted her head. I see you brought the boss, he said with a smile. She smiled at him and leaned over and gave him a hug. Hi, Mr. Sarge. It was heartwarming to see how he acted with her. He was definitely a grandpa at heart. Sarge started the truck and announced, Let's get this freak show on the road, getting a giggle out of Little Bit. We stopped at the bunker on our way out. Leanne and Taylor came out to the truck. We asked if they'd seen anything, and they replied that it had been quiet. Danny and Thad were there and told us they had it under control. Giving them a wave, we pulled off. Approaching the old barricade, Mike stepped out into the road. Sarge slowed to a stop and asked, What's up? We found a hide someone was using over there. Looks like someone's been poking around and keeping an eye on us. Was it in that old tree? I asked. Mike nodded. Yeah, right where you said it was. Any idea how they were coming in and out? Sarge asked. Dalton walked out to the Hummer. They were pretty careful, but I picked up a track. Don't go too far. Be a damn good way to get ambushed, Sarge said. We're not going to follow it far. I just want to see what direction they're coming in from, Mike said. Sarge tapped his radio. Call me if you see anything. Mike slapped the roof of the truck. Will do, boss. When Sarge pulled out onto Highway 19, I told him to swing by Jenna's place so we could check on her and Dylan. He thought that was a great idea, and in no time, we were pulling onto their small road. Pulling up, Sarge honked the horn. Dylan cracked the door and looked out, the muzzle of an AK poking out as well. Seeing the Hummer, he smiled, and the door swung open. He stepped out onto the porch and waved. Come up to the porch and get out of the rain, he called, as Jenna came out of the house. Sarge and I got out, and Little Bit ran past me, up to Jenna, and gave her a big hug. Jenna bent over and took her by the hand, and with a smile said, I bet you've got a sweet tooth. Little Bit jumped up and down. You have honeycomb? Of course Aunt Jenna has honeycomb. You come with me, Jenna replied, and led her into the house. On the porch, Sarge and I shook Dylan's hand. Dylan asked Doc to come in out of the rain, but Doc insisted on staying in the turret. We chatted for a few minutes, asking if Dylan had seen anyone or anything out of the ordinary. Nope, been quiet around here. He held his hand out and let the rain running off the roof fill his palm. Just the rain. We needed it. Yeah, we did, I agreed. Dylan pointed to a couple of blue drums sitting off the end of the porch. Filling up my rain barrels. Nice. Nothing better than rainwater, Sarge said.
Keep your eyes open, Dylan. Someone's been poking around over near us. Don't know what they're up to, or even who they are. We just wanted to let you know and make sure you guys were all right, I said. Nodding, Dylan replied.
Thanks for the heads up. We'll stay on our toes.
Jenna and Little Bit came out of the house. Little Bit was licking her fingers, and I could see the sticky shine around her mouth. Smiling, I asked,
Was it good?
Wide-eyed and sucking honey off her thumb, she nodded.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jenna, I said, rubbing Little Bit's head.
She sure likes coming to visit.
Jenna smiled. She's welcome here any time. Do you need any more veggies? We've got plenty.
No, thank you, though. I think we're all right for now. I sure do like your squash, though, Sarge said. Miss Kay fried some up in pig fat, and it was terrific. We've got plenty. Just come by when you need it, Dylan offered.
We'll take you up on it another time. We've got to get to town, I said. A slight frown appeared on Jenna's face. How are those poor people?
We're on our way to sea. The army is bringing in a field hospital tomorrow and medical personnel to help out for a while.
Well, that's really nice. Everyone thinks it was the army that did the shooting, Dylan said. We were up at the market yesterday, and they're still talking about it.
Makes me scared to go up there, Jenna added.
We're trying to fix it, so you don't have to be, Sarge replied.
That'd be great.
It was nice to go up there and talk to someone other than Batman.
Hey, I'm not good company?
Dylan asked with a smile. Jenna patted his arm.
You know I love you.
But it's comforting to talk to a woman sometimes. I laughed and made a mental note to bring Mel by. Maybe she and Bobby could come pay a visit. We said our goodbyes and got back on the road. As we passed through Altoona, I saw that the market was up and running again. Though as we passed, everyone stopped and watched us. I hope Doc didn't have that saw pointed in their direction. I saw one guy give us the finger, but thankfully, no one did anything more offensive. The road was getting more and more cluttered, and places where trees were near the road, it was usually matted with fallen debris, limbs, and leaves. The collected dirt and dust carried on the breeze and created small mounds. I knew over time these would grow and the road would begin to break down. Hopefully, things would turn around before that happened. But it was an interesting study to see how nature reclaimed what we'd taken from her. Weeds, trees, and vines were growing in cracks in the roads, parking lots, and around the edges of buildings. Vines were climbing utility poles, signs, and the sides of buildings as well. The vines broke through the paint, allowing water to get under it. The wood swelled, windows shifted, and more water got in, speeding up the process. If things didn't change, the buildings would eventually collapse. It reminded me of a show I once saw on the History Channel, Life After People. But we were still here, and it was happening. We were passing the old tavern in Umatilla when we saw the crowd. A large group of people was in the intersection of Central Ave and Bulldog Lane. As we got closer, it was obvious something was going on.
Keep a sharp eye out up there, Ronnie, Sarge said as he slowed.
As people moved around, I was able to see through the crowd and could see it was a fight.
Let's stop, I said.
Sarge stopped the truck, and I told Little Bit to stay inside. She protested, but I made it clear she was not to get out and to stay with Doc.
I got her, Doc said, as I got out.
Sarge and I walked up to the crowd. Seeing us coming, people moved out of the way, and we were able to get to the front and see what was going on. Two men were fighting, and a couple of women were trying to stop them. When one of the women saw us, she ran up.
Do something! Stop them! She shouted at me.
Hearing the woman shout,
The two men took notice of us and stopped. They looked around, uncertainly.
"What do you want me to do?" I asked the woman.
"You're the sheriff, aren't you? Stop them." I looked at the two men. One of them wore a stained white t-shirt that was soaked from the rain. The other had no shirt.
"What's this about?"
The shirtless man pointed to the other.
"That son of a bitch can't keep his mouth shut."
The other man scoffed.
"Me? You're just a lying bastard."
I looked at Sarge. He smiled and shrugged. Looking back at the two men, I pointed to the shirtless one and asked the guy in the white t-shirt,
"You want to fight him?"
"Damn right I do."
I then asked the other man the same question. He pointed at his adversary.
"I'm gonna whoop his ass."
I held my hands up.
"Don't let me stop you."
The woman that approached me spun around.
"What do you mean? You're the sheriff. You can't let them fight."
I laughed and looked around the crowd. "It ain't no business of mine if these two want to beat the shit out of one another. They both want it. It's obviously something that's been brewing for a while. The old days of having someone else solve your problems are over."
"Then what good are you if you're not going to help?" the woman shrieked.
"Ma'am, if this were a one-sided ass-whooping, I'd step in. If one was stealing from the other, I'd step in. If one of them had bushwhacked the other and killed him, I'd step in. But two grown men that want to go at one another, they can deal with that themselves." Looking the crowd over again, I added, "The nanny state is over. You're responsible for your own actions. You cuss a man, and you're likely to get a boot in your ass. Likewise, if someone does something wrong to someone, against another person, they will pay the price. Don't think for a minute we won't get involved. But this ain't nobody's business but theirs." The two men eyed one another while I spoke, but it seemed the break took the fight out of them. They exchanged more words, hollow threats. But their respective women were able to push them away and get them headed home. As the crowd began to disperse, Sarge grunted.
"Damn, I was hoping to see a fight."
I shook my head. "You're not helping." We were walking back to the truck when a shot rang out. Sarge and I both instinctively ducked and turned to find the source of the shot. A thunderous boom quickly followed the first shot. It was over behind the old ice cream stand that sits across the road from the Kangaroo. The people that had been moving towards home were sprinting in the direction of the shots. Sarge let out a loud breath.
"I guess they're shooting at one another now."
We started walking in the direction of the shots, following those who were running. As we came up to the small ice cream stand, a man burst around the corner with a wild look in his face. He carried an old single-shot shotgun, and upon seeing us, ran towards us. Pointing over his shoulder, he shouted,
"They're trying to kill me!"
A number of people poured around the corner he'd just rounded. The man in the lead had fire in his eyes. The one with the shotgun skidded to a stop in front of us. Sarge reached out and snatched the smoke pole from his hands, and he didn't resist. Instead, pointing at the crowd, he reaffirmed his fears.
"Help me! They're trying to kill me!"
The man with the fire in his eyes was at a dead run for the other. Sarge stepped out and raised his carbine at the man, who skidded to a stop. Breathing hard, he wiped the rain from his face and raised an accusatory finger at the man in front of us.
"That son of a bitch just shot my brother!"
Yet another man came running up, cradling his bleeding left arm. He stopped short and looked at his brother, then at us.
"That asshole just shot me."
The one in front of us looked at me.
"He shot at me first. It was self-defense."
The bleeding man shouted,
"You were stealing my chickens. You're a damn thief, Nathan."
Nathan looked at me.
"I gotta eat too. He's got so many of them. It ain't gonna hurt him none."
"So you were stealing chickens from this man, and when he caught you, you shot him? I asked. Unbelievably, he replied, He shot at me first. I didn't just shoot him.
You steal from everyone around here, someone from the crowd shouted.
Nathan became enraged.
I got as much right to eat as the rest of you do. You're all a bunch of selfish assholes. You won't share. There's lots of people around here in need.
The crowd was becoming agitated. The bleeding man began shouting.
I'm going to kill your ass for this. If I ever see you again, you're a dead man.
I just want to make sure I understand this. Since you feel you have nothing and these other folks have something, you feel it's all right for you to take it?
I got as much right as they do.
To their property? I asked.
Well, it's not really their property. They're just chickens.
You stole canned goods from me, another person in the crowd shouted. The rain was still falling, and everyone was getting soaked. Nathan looked like a drowned rat, pitiful, really. But he was a thief, and he'd just shot a man. I turned to face the crowd.
Is this man a thief?
My question was met with a chorus of hell yeah and thief. Still looking at the crowd, I said,
I told you earlier what was and wasn't my business. This is my business.
Turning to Nathan, I said, You're a thief, and you just shot a man while stealing from him. You've admitted it. There is no question about your guilt. I quickly drew the Springfield from its holster. As fast as I was moving, Nathan saw it coming, and his eyes went wide, and he began to shout. He raised his hands to cover his head, and the bullet I fired went through his hand and into his forehead. He collapsed like a marionette whose strings were cut. The crowd that moments ago was shouting for his head was suddenly silent. I looked around at them, then at the body on the ground. Blood was still spilling out onto the wet pavement.
I told you I would get involved when it was required.
Pointing to the body, I added, Let this be a lesson. Stealing, shooting, and killing will not be tolerated. There is no jail, no probation, and no court. Court will be held in the street. Maybe it was the rain. Maybe it was the death they'd just witnessed. But the crowd started to drift away. I stood with Sarge for a few minutes. He said nothing, just rocked back and forth on his heels. Looking over, I asked,
What?
Sarge shook his head.
Nothing.
Bullshit. Spit it out. You think I shouldn't have done it? Sarge laughed.
Hell yes, you should have. I was just wondering what was taking so damn long. I thought for a minute you was going to talk him to death. Good thing you did it when you did. I was about to.
I shook my head. You're a whole lot of help. Sarge smiled that toothy grin he used when he was laying the smartass on extra thick.
I'm here to help, Sheriff.
Let's get the hell out of here. At the Hummer, Doc was still in the turret, looking down and shaking his head. Walking up, I asked,
What?
He shrugged in reply.
Nothing.
Little Bit came boiling out of the truck.
What's going on? I couldn't see anything. Mr. Doc wouldn't let me get out.
I looked up at Doc. He gave me a wink. And I looked back at Little Bit. Nothing, kiddo. Just some men fighting. We got back in the truck and headed towards Eustace. As we passed through the intersection, Little Bit saw the body lying in the road. As yet, no one had bothered to move it. Looking out the window, she asked, Did he lose the fight? I reached back and grabbed her, pulling her towards me and away from the window.
Yeah, he lost.
Come up here and sit with me. As she climbed into my lap, she asked, Is he going to wake up? Sarge looked over.
He's just taking a dirt nap, princess.
She cocked her head.
What's a dirt nap?
I rubbed her head.
Old Sarge is just messing with you.
I gave him a look that screamed, Shut the hell up.
We made it into Eustace with no further issues. With the rain set in like it was keeping people indoors. The guys manning the roadblock waved us through without delay. We rode past the lake where Cecil had been hard at work planting crops along the narrow strip of usable ground between it and the road. The furrows were full of water now, and there was no sign of anything poking above the soil. But it was an impressive amount of work he'd managed to get done. On the dock, a couple of hardy souls, probably more hungry than hardy, were fishing from the little gazebos. A hand-to-mouth existence meant a constant effort to provide food for oneself and family. They didn't even bother looking up as we passed. And I felt for them. It made me feel thankful for what we had, what my family had. We parked outside the gate of the armory and walked in. Little Bit was excited to see all the trucks and soldiers, and they seemed equally happy to see her. Everyone she passed stopped to say hi. Many of them knelt down to talk to her. Sheffield was leaning in the doorway of the building when we came up. He waved us inside and gave Little Bit a curious look as she went in before me. He stopped me and asked why I brought her along. Doc said he was going to wander around for a while. "Shoot, every kid likes to go for a ride," I replied. "Yeah, but aren't you worried about bringing her out? You never know what could happen." I slapped his shoulder. "You worry too much. She's fine. We're fine." He shook his head and followed me inside. We went to the small conference room and took a seat. Naturally, Little Bit was enamored with the swivel chairs and spent her time spinning in circles. Livingston sat at the foot of the table with a smile on his face, shaking his head. "Fawcett says there's going to be a break in the weather sometime tonight, and the rain will stop. It will still be overcast, but he says they can fly in it," Sarge said. "Good. We've already lost one of the wounded. We need that field hospital," Livingston replied. "We need a place they can get a shithook into," Sarge said. Livingston looked up at Sheffield. "I think we should have them set down on the road out in front of the police department," Sheffield nodded.
"I think a Chinook," he emphasized the word, looking at Sarge, "could land there. Nothing around to obstruct it."
Sarge stood up. "Well, let's walk over there and take a look to make sure there's nothing to get in the way. Last thing I want is for them to show up and us not have a place for them to land." "Let's do it," Livingston said as he got up. We walked over to the police department, as it was just next door. Little Bit made a point to splash in every puddle she passed, and there were many. Standing in the parking lot of a defunct business just south of the PD, we looked down South Bay Street. There were no real obstructions, and it was decided the best place would be the intersection of West Stevens Avenue. The wide intersection would provide plenty of room to get the large helicopter into. With that settled, we started back towards the armory. As we came into the parking lot of the PD, we were met by a group. There were men and women, and all of them were armed. I was taken aback at the sight of them. We were so close to the armory, it didn't make sense that they would try anything. They stood strung out in a line, facing us, without saying a word. Sarge, being the diplomat he is, spoke first. He took a step forward and eyed them up for a minute, then said, "I hope this ain't gonna take long. I'm already soaked to my nuts." A couple of the group exchanged glances. I don't know what they were expecting, but whatever it was, this damn sure wasn't it. After a brief silence, a short, stocky man with blonde hair and matching beard spoke up. "We've been watching you guys for some time. We were unsure what your intentions here were." Sarge looked back at us. Perplexed, he asked, "And?" "We're what's left of the Eustace PD." I looked at Sheffield. He appeared just as confused as I was. Stepping up to Sarge, I asked, "Where the hell have you guys been?" "We've been here. We stayed on the job for a long time. But when we realized
This wasn't a short-term deal, and things went to hell. We decided to take care of our own.
Can't say I blame you none for that, Sarge replied.
The man pointed at me.
You're the sheriff now? I'm a sheriff. Name's Morgan Carter.
I'm Sean Meter, a lieutenant with the Eustis PD.
What do you guys want? I asked.
We want help, he said, his hand up to display a set of keys hanging from his finger. I have the keys to the PD, and it's full of stuff.
I certainly wasn't expecting that.
This is Shane Shackelford and Steve Donnelly, Sean said. I shook the other man's hands. Sarge was eyeing them up and down, and in his typical fashion, had an interesting greeting.
Three S's, huh? Shit, shower, and shave.
They didn't know what to say, and looked at one another.
Ignore him, I said. He's not a people person. His name's First Sergeant Mitchell.
Sarge stepped up and shook their hands. When shaking Sean's, he asked,
What took you so damn long?
Like I said, we stayed as long as we could, but once we realized this wasn't a short-term deal, we had to go take care of our families. We've been here the whole time.
And we've been dealing with some things, too, just doing it quietly, Shane added.
I'm glad to have the help, thanks, I said.
You should have come to us sooner, Livingston said.
You want to check out the PD? Sean asked.
Nodding, I said, Sure. Let's see what you got in there.
Sean unlocked the roll-down shutter, protecting the front door, and opened it. And we followed him in.
Chapter 11 Jess looked around the table and asked,
What do you guys think?
Leanne nodded.
I'm in.
Me too, Taylor said with a smile.
Fred leaned back and crossed her arms.
You know where I stand.
Jamie rubbed her hands together.
I love the idea.
Eric raised his hand.
I only have one question. Can I be a part of the group?
Fred leaned back and looked at him.
You can be our token man, she said with a smile.
Yeah, we could use a beast of burden, you know, strong back and weak mind, Jamie added.
Eric started to protest. Hey, but Fred cut him off.
Hush, man.
Eric leaned back. Shaking his head as he ran his fingers through his hair, he said,
This is just weird.
Getting a round of laughter out of the women.
What about Mary? Taylor asked.
Jess quieted and looked off in the distance. After a moment, she said,
I don't think Mary would want to be part of this.
She's been through enough, Fred agreed.
Let's go find the guys then. I want to get better, Fred said. She smiled and looked around the table.
I really like the training.
But it's raining, Leanne said. Jess stiffened up, and in a gruff voice, trying to imitate Sarge, she replied,
You can't pick the weather you're gonna fight in.
The girls started laughing. Eric shook his head.
That was horrible.
They collected their gear and headed out. The two previous training sessions were conducted out behind the cemetery, across the road from Danny's house. But they had to go get their trainers first. At the house, the guys shared with Sarge, Fred knocked on the door. It swung open to reveal Sarge standing there with a cup of some hot brew in his hands. He looked at the five of them for a moment before bellowing,
I already found Jesus!
And slamming the door. Fred looked back. She was met with shrugs. The door suddenly swung open again. Unsure what to say, they stared at the old man, who stared back.
I already know who I'm voting for, Sarge shouted, and slammed the door again.
Taylor started to laugh, and her sister quickly joined in. From inside the house, they heard Kay's voice.
Linus, you quit teasing those girls and let them in.
The door opened again, and Sarge eyed them up and down. Over his shoulder, he called out,
You sure you want to let this band of refugees in? Look like a bunch of damn drowned rats.
Kay came up behind Sarge.
You girls come in. Don't mind him.
The girls smiled and filed in. When Eric got to the door, he smiled at Kay.
Can I come in too?
Sarge was still standing in the door.
No, he replied, and slammed the door shut.
Eric stood there staring at the door. He never was sure how to take the old man. After all, he'd shot him once, and wasn't certain Sarge was over it yet. After a moment, the door opened, and Kay took his hand.
You can come in, too.
Eric shook his head.
I was starting to wonder.
Never mind him. You're always welcome.
As Eric stepped past Kay, he put his arm around her and gave her a kiss on the cheek. Kay patted his back and directed him to the kitchen. The kitchen was full of people. All the guys were there, along with Kay and Sarge. A Coleman stove sat on top of the useless range, its blue flame licking the bottom of a teapot. Jamie looked around, sniffing.
What's that smell?
Sarge grinned and held his cup up.
Coffee,
he said, before taking a drink. Jamie's eyes went wide.
Where'd you get that?
Morgan got some tea. I got the important stuff. Coffee, Sarge replied.
I want some,
Taylor shouted. The rest of the gang chimed in as well.
Psh, you don't drink coffee, Sarge said to Taylor.
Yes, I do.
Kay went to the cupboard and took down cups and started to pour. She handed them out until everyone had a cup of the steaming brew. The pot was empty, and she dumped what was left in the sink. Turning around, she asked,
Should I start another pot?
You'd be an angel if you would, Sarge replied.
Kay smiled and turned back to the counter. From a large blue container, she put more water in and swirled it around before dumping it into the sink. She then refilled the kettle and added several heaping spoons of coffee before setting it back on the flame.
Wow, this is strong, Taylor said, with her eyes half crossed.
He likes his coffee like he likes his men, strong and black, Mike said with a smile.
The girls laughed, and Mike looked over at Sarge.
He was taking a sip from his cup and looking over the rim at Mike. His eyes were two narrow slits with what looked like two thick caterpillars resting over them. Sarge didn't say a word, but Mike couldn't hold the gaze. He knew at some point he'd pay for it. But it was funny.
What are y'all doing out in this rain? Sarge asked.
We were hoping to get some training in this afternoon.
You guys got back from town early, and there's still time, Jess said. Mike pointed at the window.
Maybe you didn't notice, but it's raining out there.
Yes, Mike, we're aware, Fred said, as she wrung some water from her hair.
The rain will stop tonight. You guys can wait until tomorrow.
I'm not going out in it, unless I have to, Ted said. Sarge looked at Leanne.
Your daddy know you're out in this crap?
We told him we were going to their house, she replied, nodding at Jess. Sarge nodded.
You can wait until tomorrow.
He sat back in his chair and crossed his arms over his chest.
What's got you all stirred up anyway? Why are you guys wanting this training all of a sudden?
The room was quiet. All eyes were on the girls. They shared glances around at one another. Of course, they'd talked about this a lot, hours, but only among themselves. All of them were nervous and waiting for the other to speak. Jess stared into her cup as she swirled the coffee around.
We want to do our part. We want to be able to defend ourselves and our community.
Morgan made us deputies. Looking up, she added, We're not weak little girls. We're just as capable as anyone else. Sarge smiled and winked at her.
You're damn right you are.
A wave of relief washed over Jess, and smiles spread across the faces of the other girls. Taylor leaned over and shouldered her sister. They were proud of themselves.
they were becoming part of the group, and not just kids anymore. Sarge looked at Eric.
What's your position in all this?
Fred looked at him, and his chin dropped.
I'm the token man.
Mike and Ted started to laugh, loud, hard belly laughs. Eric shook his head, and Sarge looked at the two guys.
What the hell are you idiots laughing at? He's the only man in a group of four women, probably the smartest man here.
The guys stopped laughing as they thought about it. A smile spread across Eric's face for a moment, until Sarge spoke again.
Kinda.
He pointed at Leanne and Taylor.
But I know their daddy. Watched him shoot a man today.
Sarge took another sip of coffee.
Imagine what he'd do to you.
The smile was completely gone now. Eric looked at Sarge.
It's not like that. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, Leanne started, looking at Eric and shaking her head. It's not like that at all.
Kay slapped Sarge's shoulder. Stop teasing these kids.
Sarge smiled.
I'm just saying.
Did Dad really shoot someone today? Taylor asked.
He did.
Why? Leanne asked.
Up in town, some dipshit was stealing his neighbor's chickens. The neighbor caught him, and they started shooting at one another. The man with the chickens was hit, and the thieving bastard ran to town where we were. Sarge laughed. Thought we was going to help him.
And Dad just shot him? Taylor asked.
It's like this. The man was a thief. When he got caught, he shot the man he was stealing from. What are you going to do with a man like that?
In a voice totally devoid of emotion, Ted replied,
You put him down.
Hard, Mike added. He didn't say anything about it when he came home, Taylor said. Yeah, he was normal, like always, Leanne added.
It isn't the sort of thing you brag about. No normal man does, anyway. Your daddy just does what needs to be done when the time comes, Sarge replied.
Always one to try and lighten the mood, Kay rose from her chair.
Coffee's done. Who needs a fresher?
Leanne looked down into her cup.
There's coffee grounds in my cup.
Where do you think it comes from? Mike asked.
Don't worry, I'll drink yours, Sarge said as he passed his cup to Kay.
No, I'll take some, Leanne replied, getting a laugh out of Sarge. As they were talking and enjoying the spoils of Sarge's scrounging abilities, there was a knock at the door. Sarge looked up.
Who the hell is it now?
He asked as Mike headed for the door. Dalton was standing there when Mike opened the door. Mike looked at him. He was soaked. Water dripped from the brim of his boonie hat.
What's up, man?
Mike asked as Ted came up behind him.
Found another hide.
No shit. Where? Ted asked.
Out behind that house where those folks are quarantined.
That ain't good. Let's get our shit, Mikey, and go take a look. Ted said as he headed back into the house.
Come on in and get a cup of coffee, Mike said, waving Dalton in.
Coffee? Where the hell'd you get that? Dalton replied as he followed Mike.
The old man's a first-rate thief.
Dalton came into the kitchen and all eyes were on him. Sarge looked down at his boots.
You tracked that mud all through my house?
Dalton looked down at his feet.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm not used to being inside anymore.
He looked back the way he'd come, and the muddy tracks he'd left. Sarge laughed.
I know what you mean. Don't worry about it. Coffee?
Dalton looked at the pot in the stove.
I'd almost do unnatural things for a cup.
You're lucky I'm here then, Miss Kay said, as she handed him a cup. I'll just give it to you. Dalton took the cup.
Thank you.
He held it up to his nose and sniffed deeply. Closing his eyes, he moaned,
My God, that smells good.
He took a long sip, holding the hot liquid in his mouth for a long moment before swallowing it.
Damn, that's good.
Few things in life are as good, Sarge replied.
Dalton nodded. I'd have to agree.
What's up this morning? Sarge asked.
I found another hide. We're going to go take a look at it.
Where is it? Sarge asked.
Out behind Tyler's place, Ted replied as he came in.
You going to take a look? Sarge asked.
Yeah, we'll check it out. You coming? Ted asked. Sarge looked around the table.
Nah, you guys can handle that. I'll stay here and keep the women folk safe.
Ted laughed.
Yeah, they look like they need your protection, all right.
Hey, Jess shouted.
Sarge smiled.
I'm just playing.
He's looking for an excuse is all, Jess, Ted added.
Dalton finished the coffee and unslung his pack, setting it on the table. He fished around in it and pulled out a titanium cup. Looking at Kay, he asked,
Can I have one for the road?
Kay took the cup with a smile.
Of course, but you could have taken that cup with you.
Dalton smiled. I like this one. Plus, when I'm done, I can drop it back into my pack. Kay handed the filled cup back to him. Here you go. He took the cup and thanked her. Mike was standing in the hall and called out,
You guys coming, or are we going to make this tea party an all-day thing?
Dalton spun on his heels.
Let's go, lads.
Taylor quickly spoke up.
Can we come?
Ted looked at her, then at Sarge. He made no indication either way. Ted looked around the table at the group. He could see the pleas in their eyes.
All right, you guys can come. This will be treated as a combat patrol, and you'll be treated accordingly.
The girls were quickly on their feet amid the sound of chairs sliding on the floor and banging into the wall. It looked a lot like a Chinese fire drill and caused Sarge to laugh.
You guys be safe, Kay said, as everyone headed for the door.
Once outside, Ted called everyone's attention.
All right, guys. Like I said, this is a combat patrol. Order of march will be as follows. Dalton's on point, then Jess, Taylor, and Leanne. I'm next with Fred, then Eric and Mike. And tail end will be Charlie.
Dalton cleared his throat.
Don't bunch up. Keep your intervals and pay attention. I'll pause often to look and listen. If you see something, be sure to call it out. When we stop, your focus is outward, not what everyone else is doing. Pay attention.
His comments seemed to add a little apprehension to the group. They looked around nervously.
Don't worry about it, guys. This is just practice. We're probably not going to come across anyone, but treat it as though we will. You never know, Mike added. All right, Dalton, lead off. Everyone fall in as we move out, Ted instructed.
Dalton shook the last of the coffee from his cup and stuffed it back in his pack. Shouldering it, he checked his weapon and started out towards Tyler's house. Ordinarily, Dalton would simply have walked straight to the spot he'd discovered. But since this was being used as a training exercise, he treated it as a real patrol. Every so often, he would stop to look and listen. The three experienced men would make corrections to the rest of the group, but for the most part, they did well. Approaching the bunker, Dalton stopped and took a knee. Everyone followed suit. They were doing well. Dalton looked back and waved Ted forward.
What's up? Ted whispered.
Is there any sort of challenge, reply set up?
No, but we should do that. Good idea. Let's move out to the bunker and we'll talk about it with the guys there.
Dalton nodded and moved out. Ted waited as the group passed him and fell back in his position. Dalton could see Thad looking at him through the front port of the bunker. He had a curious look on his face. Dalton waved, and Thad waved back. Soon, he and Danny appeared from behind the bunker.
What's with all the sneaking around like a bunch of ninjas? Thad asked.
Patrol training, Dalton answered. The group made it to the bunker and grouped up, talking, chatting, and generally not paying attention to what was going on. Ted looked around.
Hey! He called in a harsh whisper. Form a security perimeter. You're still on a patrol.
Unsure of exactly what he meant, the group started to shift around. Mike, Ted, and Dalton helped direct them, taking the time to explain where they needed to be and what they needed to be looking for.
There's a threat out there. Not here where we are. When we stop, you form a perimeter, facing out, so we have 360 degrees of coverage, and no one can sneak up on us, Dalton said. As he moved around the circle, the girls started forming.
Thad watched in amusement as the guys worked with the girls to get them in place. Even Eric got some pointers. Leanne looked at Thad.
What are you smiling at? She asked in a friendly, jabbing manner.
Just watching you all carry on.
Leanne looked out at her area of observation, then back at Thad.
We've got to learn at some point.
Thad nodded, and the smile disappeared.
Yes, you do. Take it seriously, too. This kind of thing ain't no game.
She nodded before turning her attention to the area in front of her. They maintained the security perimeter for a little longer before Ted gave the order to move out. Dalton nodded and headed off towards Tyler's house as everyone fell in behind him. Dalton worked his way off the road and into the woods. He moved slowly and paused frequently to listen and eyeball the area. As they moved, if he heard a stick break, he'd pause and look back. Whichever of the three guys was closest to the offender would admonish them and offer some advice on stealthy movement. But this was never done in a mean or belittling way. The guys would try to encourage the girls to pay attention and reinforce just how important these skills were. When they were close to the place they were headed to, Dalton dropped to his knee. Everyone followed suit almost immediately. Dalton waved to Ted and pointed out the spot.
It's that oak tree right there.
Ted looked at the old tree.
Good hide location.
The old oak had probably been struck by lightning, causing nearly half of it to collapse.
Yeah. They can see the road from here and tell who's moving around.
Is it empty?
It was when I found it, but the ground was dry under that big limb.
All right. I'm going to get Mike to take a couple with him and move over there behind it. He can be our cover as we approach it, Ted said, and quickly turned and headed off. He told Mike what he wanted done, and in no time, Mike, Fred, and Eric were moving off. Ted told the rest of the group how to spread out. Jamie directed Leanne and Taylor where to go, then pointed out a place for Jess. Once they were all in position, Mike called and said they were ready. Ted looked at Dalton and nodded, and the two started moving towards the old tree. It didn't take long to get to it and see it was unoccupied. Dalton pointed out the hide, and Ted knelt down to inspect it.
There have been at least two different people here, Ted whispered.
Dalton knelt down beside him. Pointing out through the field behind him, he replied,
And they come and go through there.
Ted looked out across the field.
That's a long way to get in here.
Dalton nodded.
Let's get out of here and talk about it. I have an idea.
Ted nodded, and they moved out and regrouped at the bunker. Much to the guys' delight, the girls immediately formed a security perimeter.
What's your plan? Ted asked Dalton.
I figured we should set up an ambush for whoever is coming back, see if we can bag him, Dalton replied. Ted looked around and nodded.
I agree. I'd like to know who's poking around.
We'll sort out who's going and get it ready soon.
I'm thinking just the three of us, you, me, and Mike. I don't think we'll need more than that, and these guys aren't ready for that sort of thing yet, Dalton replied, nodding towards Jess.
Ted smiled.
Don't let Jamie hear you say that.
Dalton looked at her.
Wasn't talking about her. I think she can hold her own.
You have no idea, my friend. She's a badass chick. The two got with Mike and told them what they were going to do. The girls and Eric agreed to take over at the bunker and let Thad and Danny take a break.
"You guys be careful out there," Thad said as he slung his AK.
"We will, but if you hear any shooting, come a-running," Mike replied. Thad smiled and winked. "You know I will."
"I'm headed home to dry out," Danny said.
The girls and Eric moved into the bunker. Ted took time to explain to Jamie what he wanted her to do if any shooting started. She, Eric, and Jess were to be a quick reaction force and come to the ambush. Leanne, Taylor, and Fred were to remain at the bunker to cover them. With the details sorted, everyone moved out. The guys moved into the woods and took up positions on the trail that was being used to access the hide. It was across a small pasture, and whoever would be coming would surely stop inside the tree line before moving across it. They would take them here when they paused for a look. They took some time setting up their hides. Camouflage would be paramount. Once their hides